play through that first verse once.
Thank you. out. If you like to take notes, just tell him about it and he'll give you one. If you'd like handouts from this morning, you see me afterwards, and $10 a piece, I'll give you all the handouts you want. I have handouts for all my messages. That keeps me on track, so I know when to be quiet. I'm going to be talking to you about Proverbs 3, but I want to start at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 1, this is one of the lessons that I'm going over in Sunday school class on Proverbs. I bought a book a while back by John Phillips called Exploring the Proverbs. And I was so well connected with the author that I found out his phone number and I called him. And when I called John Phillips, his wife answered the phone. Are you able to hear me okay this afternoon? Somebody didn't hear me well this morning. I'm good? Okay, I'll try not to cough or sneeze and really wake you up. But my phone call to Phillips, Mrs. Phillips answered the phone, and I said, is your husband John around? I said, is this the John Phillips that wrote the Exploring series? And she said, he's in the hospital, and he's not doing well. He has a urinary tract infection, and they don't know if he'll pull through or not. And she said, why do you ask? And I said, well, I so resonate with his material that I just want to thank him and ask him if it's okay if I share some of it in class. And she said he would be delighted. And she said, in fact, I'll send you his entire Exploring series on one of these little discs things. I don't know how to run it, so if anyone wants that disc, let me know. But I've got his entire Exploring series on those disc tapes. But this material from John Phillips on Exploring the Proverbs is very, very, very helpful to me personally. And when I get a sermon that's very helpful to me personally, you know, I like to share with others. And if somebody else gets credit for the outline, I like to give them credit. So if you really, really, really like this outline, then you send a note to Mrs. Phillips and tell her that you really, really like her husband's notes. By the way, he did not pull through that infection. He went to glory a few weeks later. So he's in heaven now. But if you like good expository type reading material, his series on exploring the various books of the Bible are excellent. They're not free, they're not cheap, but they're well worth the money if you want to invest in them. So he gets credit for this outline. I got a letter from a governor of Minnesota several years back, and he was wondering how to slow down the crime and slow down the trouble and slow down all the restless activity that was going on in the country. And he was calling various preachers to get advice how he might fix the country a little bit. And I told him, I said, well, I said, it's really quite easy if you want to fix the country and get it back on track. I said, what you do is you have to have a treat for all the teenagers. And then to get that treat, you make them do a little bit of work. I'm going to slide this down a little bit because it's echoing here. But I said, here's what I would do if I were governor. Every teenager in the country wants their driver's license. And I said, to get that driver's license, instead of having them memorize the owner's manual or the driver's license manual, have them memorize the book of Proverbs. And he laughed. He says, that is a great idea, he said. But to him, because of church and state, we weren't allowed to do that. But when you think about it, it's true. I would want my neighbor, regardless of which church he went to, I would love it if he understood Proverbs. I would love it if he lived by some of those Proverbs. And if lost people who just want their driver's license would learn the Proverbs, we'd have a lot fewer problems in our country. And the Proverbs are all about wisdom. And wisdom is a lacking element in today's society. Wisdom is lacking. If wisdom were not lacking, we wouldn't have situations like this. 50 years ago, if you asked 12 high school kids what they wanted to be when they grew up, when they became professionals, The number one profession on the top of the list was to be a judge. The second one on the list was to be a pastor. And then it went from there to professional doctors, lawyers, whatever. Today, if you take the average high school senior in Sioux Falls, Minnesota, and ask them what they'd like to be when they became professionals or when they grow up and finish college, pastor and Bible teacher is not even on the list. And it's not on the list because our country lacks wisdom. We just don't have wisdom. The song I mentioned this morning in church was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Well, you and I need to have a friend as well in wisdom. What a friend we have in wisdom and Bible wisdom. I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. We read in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. What's the next word? Wisdom. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. The students of the Old Testament, when there was no New Testament, there was no Bible yet, loved to follow the teachings of Job. With Job is a book all about suffering. And people needed to know how to deal with suffering. They needed it 4,000 years ago, and they need it today. The Psalms were all about singing. And oh, how we need to sing praises to God regardless of our circumstances. Proverbs is all about sobriety. It's about you and I living a serious life for the glory of God. We need to take our relationship with Him seriously. And we don't have to be solemn and stoic and so serious that we can't even crack a smile, but we should be sober thinking people. We should be good biblical thinkers, because if we're not good biblical thinkers, we'll have no wisdom and we'll end up being not so good stinkers, okay? We'll end up getting in trouble. We'll make wrong choices. So the book of Proverbs is very, very interesting to me in that if Jesus was made wisdom to us, then another name for Jesus could be wisdom. Now we know that there's several other synonyms that go with the name Jesus in the New Testament, but one of those titles could certainly be wisdom. He is made unto us, it's you and I as believers. He has made to us wisdom. That's where I want to start this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the lunch hour and the refreshments and the fellowship. Thank you for your mercy and grace, which is new every day, which we sang about this morning, and even just now recently. Lord, we don't deserve the mercy and grace you give us, but it's your nature to be generous. It's your nature to be helpful. It's your nature to give us the wisdom of your voice and of your word. And so this afternoon, as these people have returned for another helping of your truth, I pray you give this old preacher clarity. I pray you give this old preacher help from the Holy Spirit. And I pray when we leave the afternoon hour, spending time in your word, that we'll be more aware of how important it is to have the wisdom of God in our life. So Lord, just draw us to yourself through this short challenge this afternoon, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now I'll try not to be as long as I was this morning, and I'll try to speak in such a way that you can all hear me. If everybody can hear me, raise your hand. Hear me in the back row? Okay, good. If you're glad you came, raise your hand. If you enjoyed dinner, raise your hand. Okay, I'm doing your exercises now, you know that, don't you? Okay, if you ate too much, raise your hand. All right, I tell people I'm the fastest growing pastor in South Dakota, and I keep going to these cattle blessings, I will be the fastest growing pastor in South Dakota. But there's just more of me to love right now because I ate too much dinner. But I do appreciate your kindness towards us as a family. I do appreciate your having you in our fellowship of churches in the area. I so appreciate your pastor sermons. You know, I have favorite preachers that I've met over the years, and I've never met a pastor who I love praying with like your pastor. I mean, I just it's like I get a sermon every time he prays. He just has a Holy Spirit connection there that is lacking in a lot of pulpits. But I'm so thankful for him and his ministry here. I keep praying for him that God will give him good health and a long ministry. Now today, or this afternoon, you can tell from reading this paper, we want to give you the reminders, the rewards, and the results for keeping knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in your life. Now, before I start, John Phillips uses an excellent illustration to teach us the importance of this. He said, first of all, we need knowledge. We have reminders, rewards, and results for keeping knowledge. The illustration he uses is that of a little girl who's watching her mom iron clothes. Her mom's up there ironing clothes, and the phone rings. So the mom says to the little girl, "Don't touch the iron, it's hot." And then the mom goes in the other room to answer the phone. Now the little girl has knowledge. She's been told the iron is hot. But being the mischievous little girl she is, she wonders, I wonder if that iron really is hot, or if mom was tricking me. So she goes over there and she grabs the iron and she accidentally touches the hot part. Ouch! Okay? Now she has understanding. She had knowledge. Her mother said, "Don't touch the iron, it's hot." She has understanding because she disobeyed her mom, touched it, and she burned her finger. Okay? The next day, the mom is ironing clothes again. The little girl is watching, the phone rings, and the mother says, "Don't touch the iron, it's hot." Now she has wisdom, because she doesn't even go close to the iron. See, that's what wisdom is. It's taking the information and the knowledge and using it to make wise choices and have discretion and discernment in our life. There's a lot of people, including the devil, that has great knowledge of the Word of God, but so many of them are using it wrongly. And so many are using it in an unwise fashion. And you and I don't want to do that. We want to use God's word wisely. And so we want to gain knowledge. We want to get the information. Then we want to understand the information. And then we want to have the wisdom to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. Every young person, there's as many young people here right now as there was earlier this morning. But all these young people are going to grow up and they're going to be tempted with their first drop of alcohol. They're going to be tempted with their first narcotic drug. They're going to be tempted with their first poor relationship with an unsaved man or an unsaved woman. If they have wisdom, they will make the right decision. If they're lacking in wisdom, they'll respond foolishly. And then they will pay. And mom and dad will pay. And mom and dad will cry. Mom and dad will wonder, how did their child become a prodigal? There are pastors all over the country that have prodigal children. Pastors' children that are prodigal children because they had information and they had knowledge, but they didn't know how to wisely make good, strong, solid decisions. This little lesson in Proverbs chapter 3 is going to help us with that. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning verse number 21. And I won't travel to a lot of verses today, so if you can find Proverbs 3, you'll be able to stay there till I'm done. Proverbs chapter 3, well, let me start reading here in verse number 19, and then I'll just read to verse 21, and we'll get started, okay? In verse 19, it says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established heavens, and by his knowledge." See that we have the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom all in the two verses here. "By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and clouds drop down the dew." Now verse 21, "My son." Now keep in mind that Solomon had a lot of wives and a lot of porcupines. He had a lot of concubines. Solomon had a lot of wives. And many of those wives he had just for political reasons, or just for world domination. He felt that if he married a woman from a foreign country, that he could control that country. And it was allowed back in the day for a king to have several wives. And you know what happens when you have several wives? You have several children. And Solomon here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching his boys, not just the boys, but I believe the girls as well, or teaching his teacher helpers, his tutors, if you will, this is what I want you to teach our children. This is what I want you to teach them. My son, let not them, but who's the them? That's the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom referred to in the previous verses. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So number one in your notes, the Roman number one, we have the results for keeping them. And the first result is that we will see better. We will see wisely. We will see the end result of a bad decision. Your mother says to you, don't date that man. With wisdom, you don't date him. With foolishness, you date him anyway because you think he's cute. What happens? You end up with foolish results. You end up with painful results because you did not apply wisdom. So wisdom, number one, will help you see better. Number two, it will help you live better. Look at verse 22. So shall they be life. Life has to do with living. They shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You will have a better life, not only internally, but externally. You'll know God's word in here, and you'll be able to flush it out there. You'll be able to say no to the high school student who wants you to indulge in foolishness. You'll be able to say no to the coworker who wants you to indulge in the office picnic. You'll say no to the temptations that come your way. Why? Because you have wisdom. So wisdom will help you see better. Wisdom will help you live better. Number three, wisdom will help you walk better. Look at verse number 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. I told you that 4 weeks ago today, my wife stumbled. She tripped on some carpet and fell in the church foyer and got a broken hip. This is talking about that kind of stumbling. This is talking about the idea of making right and wrong decisions. If you make a wrong decision, you're going to stumble and fall, and you're going to get hurt, and those around you are going to get hurt. If you make a wise decision, you won't stumble, you won't fall. Your parents will be happy, you'll be happy. Have a long and prosperous life. It doesn't mean all your troubles are going to be over. It just means that in that particular situation, you made a wise decision. And because you made a wise decision, you'll walk better, you'll walk safer, and you won't stumble. Okay? So number one, we see better. We see wisely. We live better, which means we live internally and externally in a better fashion. We walk better, safely, and we don't stumble. And number four here in verse 24, we will sleep better. Look at verse 24. When thou liest down, I don't know about you, but when I lie down, I'm going to sleep. I am so glad they don't have recliners in church, because if they had recliners in church, I'd be sleeping through every service, okay? When thou liest down, that's when we go to sleep. It says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now, who doesn't want sweet sleep? I love sweet sleep. You know, when you get older, people always ask me, what time you get up in the morning? I say, well, I get up at 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Why do you ask? And they say, what time do you stay up? And I say, well, I usually stay up around 7:30 or 8. But my sleep is sweet. And every night before I preach on a Sunday morning, I always pray this. I said, Lord, your word says that my sleep will be better. Help me to have a good, long, uninterrupted night's sleep. And last night I had a good, long, uninterrupted night's sleep. That's why I'm talking like crazy, okay? I want my sleep to be better, and I know you do too. I want it to be sweet. I don't want to fall asleep full of anger. The Bible says in the New Testament, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed hurting. Give it over to the Lord. Don't go to bed worried and troubled. You can sleep better if you practice wisdom. Number five here, you will fight better. Now, we're Christians. We're not supposed to be fighting, but you'll get the picture here as we read verse number 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. We need to fight fearlessly. In the New Testament, we're taught to resist Satan. That's where most of our fighting comes in. Because you know from Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not people that we fight. It's principalities and wickedness in high places. And that's what we're resisting. That's what we're fighting. That's what we're standing against. And if nothing else comes out of COVID in the last election, at least we've got some Christians now that are finally standing up. They're finally taking a stand and say, look, world, enough's enough. Enough's enough. We've killed 60 million babies. Let's put a stop to this nonsense. We've got some Christians that are finally learning to fight wisely. And that is to fight without fists and bombs and stuff. Just stand for truth so that wickedness doesn't have a chance. We will see better, live better, walk better, sleep better, fight better. And number five, or number six here, we will stand better. Echo a little bit of what I just said. Let's look at verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. That's how we stand. I was asked to become a chaplain. I've been a chaplain at several communities where I served. The Legion, the VFW, they find out I'm a preacher and a veteran, so they call me up. Will you be a chaplain? We need a chaplain. I told the folks in Elton, I said, I'll be your chaplain under one condition. They said, what's that? I said, if you tell me I can't use the name of Jesus, you find another chaplain. Because they have a chaplain's manual that you're supposed to follow. And when you follow the chaplain's manual, which is written kind of universally for all military veterans, they're not likely to have you say the name of Jesus any more than is necessary. So I told him at Elkton, I says, you want me to be your chaplain? Fine. Just don't interrupt me or stop me from using the name of Jesus. Because at his name, every knee shall bow. And I'm a Christian first before I'm a chaplain. And they understood that. But that's what taking a stand is. Taking a stand doesn't mean you're mean-spirited. It just means you're taking a stand on truth. You're not letting the world push you around. Be flimsy with your face. Be faith. Be firm with your faith, not flimsy. Okay. Rule number two. The results are, see, live, walk, sleep, fight, and stand better. The reminders now for practicing truth. Well, let's look at verse 27. First of all, we don't delay. Look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. One of my gifts is procrastination. And my other gift is justification. So I put off as many things as I can for as long as I can. And when I do wrong, I try to justify it. Don't laugh, because a lot of you are that way yourself. But when I practice wisdom, the procrastination should decrease. I should do good at every chance I have. And you should do good at every chance you have. Because that's how we share the truth of the gospel. By just being good people. When I die, I hope at least one person will say, he was a good man. That's all I need. You don't have to give me all the accolades and talk about all my degrees and all my papers and all my little gospel tracts I wrote. If I could hear he was a good man, I'd be happy with that. Doing goodness. That's what you and I are called to do as believers. Just be good. You know, this the last couple years, there's a lot of mean people out there. I mean, you say thank you and they snarl at you. Why are you saying thank you to me for? You're not even wearing a mask. You know, that type of thing. This thing has made people snarly and angry and frustrated. Well, you and I have a chance to be a light at dark culture. And our culture right now could use some light. And the way we spread that light is by doing good. Even to those who probably don't deserve it, who probably don't want it, we should still be good anyway. So do all the good you can, okay? Don't delay at that, okay? The second one here under Roman number 2 is don't deny. Look at verse 28. Verse 27 said, withhold not. Verse 28 says, say not. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee, okay? And there's parallels to this in the New Testament, but the idea is that we don't pretend. We don't lie and deceive just to gain control. So we don't deny them, our neighbor, when he's persistent. If our neighbor needs help, he ran out of gas for his lawnmower, we should give him some. If our neighbor's house burned down, we should offer him a place to stay, or at least enough money to get a motel. Salvation Army does that regularly. We should be good and we should be kind and we shouldn't deny using godly wisdom to help our neighbor. Verse number 28. Verse number 29, Don't devise. Don't devise. Look at verse 29. Devise not. So you have three knots. This is a knotty passage, okay? You have not in verse 27, told not. We have it again in verse 28, say not. And we have in verse 29, devise not. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Don't devise or plot against thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Don't trick him. Don't con him. And don't steal from him. I have a little plaque in my house that says, love thy neighbor. God means that. In other words, it's not just there for you and I to look at as a nice little phrase. God wants us to love our neighbor. You say, well, you don't understand. My neighbor drove over my poodle. I don't care if he drove over. I better be careful what I say here. It doesn't matter what he did, okay? You should still be nice to your neighbor, okay? All of us have a neighbor we wish wasn't our neighbor. But he's probably the one that needs the most love and attention. He's probably the one that is lacking respect. He's probably the one that's had a really hard time in life. And nobody's ever seen that. Love your neighbor. Don't devise and plot against him. Number four here under Roman numeral 2. Don't dispute. Look at verse 30. Strive not with a man without a cause, if he have done thee no harm. Don't dispute with him. Don't be pouting about him. Don't engage in foolish striving or foolish debate or foolish arguing. I have never argued anybody into the kingdom. I've never shared the gospel in an arguing fashion. But once or twice I tried that when I was younger. It didn't do any good. People don't want to listen to you argue them into salvation. Now we're to compel them. We're to give them the truth. But a person that's made up his mind to be a certain kind of a person, it's hard to persuade them any differently. You win their heart. You build a bridge of relationship. You build a bridge of love so you can communicate with them. We have neighbors that are moving in around us. We live in a mobile home park. And in a mobile home park, people are more mobile. They don't stay for 100 years. They just stay for 2-3 years and then they move. So we get new ones moving in. And I don't go over there the first day they move in and take my Bible and beat them over the head with it. I go over there and say, hey, can I help you unload your furniture? I actually did that one time. I saw a U-Haul truck come into my neighbor's house. And I have this thing where if I see a U-Haul truck, I like to follow it, not only to get the address of the new move-in, but to offer my services. And I was younger then and healthier then, and I was ambitious back then, so I didn't mind helping people unload the furniture. U-Haul truck comes in, I go over there, and I said, hi, new neighbor, how you doing? I'm so-and-so, I live right over there. And I said, can I help you with anything? They said, well, we just got a couple more items left. I said, well, let me give you a hand. So I give him a hand, and I'm unloading this stuff, and he says, can I pay you? I said, no. I said, I don't want to be paid. I said, I just do this to be neighborly. I said, hold. I said, as a matter of fact, you can't pay me. He said, really? He said, well, what do you want? I said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me 30 minutes of your time next Tuesday night? And he said, sure, I can do that. Tuesday night is when we go out on visitation for the church, you know, to the community. So the following Tuesday night, I go to his house, and he says, I'm here to collect my money. He said, what's that? I said, you said you'd give me 30 minutes. And he said, I did. Come on in and sit down. What was interesting about that, this is just a sidebar. This is free, okay? I go in there and I share the gospel with him. And I take him all the way through the plan of salvation. I got him good and lost now, so he knows he needs to be saved. He understands what needs to happen for him to trust Christ and verbally confess the Lord Jesus Christ before me. And wouldn't you know, about the time I was ready to pull in the net and grab the fish, he gets a phone call. And as soon as he grabs the phone call, his wife was sitting there, and she says, oh, no. No, oh, no, no, no. And then she gives the phone to her husband, and he says, no, when did that happen? Oh, we feel terrible. And I'm in the background listening to this. And I'm saying, oh, man, the devil just really took this seed away from us. What am I going to do? They're in trouble. So anyway, they hang up the phone, and I said, obviously something tragic has happened, and do you want me to leave? Would you like me to just get out of here? I don't want to interrupt your grief. He said, no. He says, I think you should stay. He says, if you don't mind, I'll tell you what happened. The apartment they just moved out of in Oklahoma City, the neighbor called and said the landlady who was in charge of the apartments, cleaning and washing and collecting rent, the landlady that was in charge had been pulled into the room by a stranger. They put a gunny sack over her head and they tortured her and killed her. And he was just now getting that information. And I said, whoa. I said, and I take it you were really, really good friends. Oh, she was the best landlady ever. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you think she was a believer? Oh, yeah. If anybody was saved, she was saved. She preached to us all the time. She always invited us to her church. She was such a nice lady. It's too bad she had to get killed that way. And I said, well, there you go. I said, I gave you the message, and God kind of illustrated it perfectly for you. I said, where are you going to go when you die? And I wish I could give you a good report that he prayed and made a profession of faith right on the spot. But he didn't. His name was Jeff. And 2 weeks later, Jeff died. He had brain tumor as a result of a construction buildup of insulation particles in his brain. He was like 30 years old. And the doctor told him after surgery, he better get his house in order. And 2 weeks later, he died. I hope that he made a decision to trust Christ. I don't know for sure, but I hope he made a decision to trust Christ on what he had heard. You know, we just never know where people are at in life, and we just need to be faithful and take the opportunities that come our way to share the gospel, because we don't know what might happen tomorrow. None of us have a guarantee that we'll be around tomorrow. Some of us could be in heaven. Yay! But most of us are probably going to be around tomorrow. But, you know, a year from now, there'll probably be one less in this church than there is now, or two less. It's just that's the way life is. It's appointed on a man wants to die. God gives us the challenge to live wisely and to not procrastinate and not pout and not pretend, but to witness to these people and be a light to these people and not dispute with them. Let's go to the fifth one here under Roman numeral 2. You're still awake? Say amen. All right, good. You're still awake. Let's go to don't desire. Look at verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Don't desire, don't pray, P-R-E-Y. Don't be envious of what they have, okay? So for practicing wisdom, we need to make sure we don't delay, deny, devise, dispute, or desire what they have. We don't want to be procrastinating by not talking to them. We don't want to pretend that we're a good neighbor when we really are not. We don't want to plot against them, devise. We don't want to pout or argue. And then we don't want to be envious of them. We don't want to desire what they have. Those are the reminders for practicing wisdom. So now the conclusion. And the conclusion is a positive thing because it talks about the rewards. The rewards for living them. The rewards for living. When I say living them, you have to go back to verse 19, where it talks about wisdom and understanding, and verse 20, where it talks about knowledge. By living with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, we get to receive these blessings from the Lord. Okay? Now, in verse number 32, Roman numeral 3 is the rewards for living them. In verse number 32, it uses the word abomination. It says, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Now the froward are the people that they try to do things in a rushed, proud fashion. I like to think of the word forward. They're way ahead of themselves. They're not kind, they're not polite, they're froward. And it says to be froward is an abomination. And this word abomination is mentioned 16 times in the Proverbs. And most of us are familiar with all the verses, but let me just give them to you quickly. We won't turn there because of the interest of time. But in verse 22, we're not to be froward. We're not to be that kind of a person. Abomination means abhorring. A froward person is abhorring. And abomination means hateful. Froward people are usually pretty hateful. They're disgusting. They're loathing. They're repulsive. And to have an abomination is to dislike greatly. So the Lord mentions these abominations throughout the Proverbs. And the one we're most familiar with is Proverbs 6. Now, this isn't on your sheet. If you want to write these references down, you can. Proverbs 6 is verse 16 to 19. This is the verse that most of us are familiar with. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He hates these things. And then he gives a list: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Well, the abortion crowd needs to read this verse, don't they? And heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. In chapter 8 and verse 7, wickedness is an abomination to God. In chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to God. In Proverbs 11, verse 20, a froward or a proud heart is an abomination to God. In chapter 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to God. In chapter 15, verse 8, wicked sacrifices are an abomination to God. In Proverbs 15, 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination. In Proverbs 15, 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. In Proverbs 16, 5, the proud in heart are an abomination. In 17, 15, the wicked justifiers are an abomination. And just condemners are an abomination. In chapter 20, verse 10, diverse or false measures and weights are an abomination. In chapter 20, verse 23, a false weight is an abomination. In chapter 21, verse 27, sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. In chapter 28, verse 9, those that turn away his ear from the hearing of the law is an abomination. You see why it's important to get the wisdom down pat? So that you don't do all those abominable things, okay? Every time I use the word abomination, I think of the abominable snowman. But abominations are things the Lord hates and despises. And we need to be careful that we practice wisdom wisely so we can get rewards and not end up ruining our own life by poor choices. So let's close with those rewards. The first one is we will receive the Lord's secrets. Look at verse 32 again. Proverbs 3, verse number 32. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. We will receive the Lord's secrets. You say, well, as believers, do we get special treat? I believe we do. We're God's children. We're the King's kids. We get special treats. The first special treat we get is understanding salvation, understanding our own lost condition so we can trust him. We get patience like the world doesn't know. We get understanding like the world doesn't know. See, the world does not know or practice biblical wisdom. So the Lord leaves us here so that we can practice for them, so that we can be a light for them. Don't you ever wonder why when God saves you, he doesn't just take you right to heaven? Well, the reason he doesn't take you right to heaven is because he uses us to be a light and to be a salt in this earth. When you've witnessed to the last person that God wants you to witness to, you'll go to heaven. Until then, stay busy bringing glory to his wonderful name. So we receive the Lord's secrets. In verse 33, we will receive the Lord's smiles. Where do you get that, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse number 33. Curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth. There's where I get the word smiles. Besides, I have to alliterate this because John Phillips, he alliterates everything. So in order to find a word that starts with the letter S, I had to use the word smiles, and he uses it as well. So I don't think the Lord looks down from heaven and smiles at the wicked. But I do believe he looked down from heaven and he smiles at the righteous. He smiles at the godly. He smiles at you, about you, for you, with you, when you're praying. He smiles when he hears good singing that honors his name. He smiles when we leave track someplace. I mean, I think the Lord loves smiling. One of the happiest memories I have of my wife, she's still alive. I remember a lot of things, but one of the things I remember when the kids were little, she'd be at the kitchen sink and she'd be doing dishes. And she'd look outside and she'd see the kids playing in the sandbox. And they weren't fighting. They were just playing and having fun. And that always brought a smile across my wife's face. And I was always happy when I saw that. And I get this picture of God being in heaven. And when we're in love with his word, and we're in love with singing, and we're in love with church, and we're in love with witnessing, and we're in love with giving, I think it causes a smile across his face. He blesses the habitation of the just. He's encouraged by that. And as much as he's an encouragement to us, we can be an encouragement to him by being obedient. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Number three, not only his secrets and smiles, but his supply. We will receive the Lord's supply of grace. Look at verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners. In other words, he criticizes the critics, but he gives grace unto the lowly. One of my favorite hymns is, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. And boy, he does. He has got a whole boatload. He's got a whole warehouse of grace and mercy. And we have not because we ask not. He just wants to share it with us. He gives us an abundant supply of grace. And then the last one here, verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of the fools. Number four, we will receive the Lord's signature. Signature of glory. We inherit glory. I think it's Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He loves giving us grace. He loves giving us his signature of glory. These are four excellent reward pictures, if you will, for practicing biblical wisdom. Daily, the Bible says, he loadeth us with benefits. And a lot of those benefits are on behalf of you and I practicing godly wisdom. In the New Testament, it's all about Jesus and looking to Jesus. In the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet appeared in person. And so they had to look elsewhere. Where did they look? They looked for the wisdom of David. They looked for the wisdom of Solomon. They looked to the wisdom of Job. And when they followed that, then they were called people of the way. People who followed the Lord and his teachings. And I want to be wise when I get older. Can I say that, class? I want to be wise when I get older. I hope you do. And I hope you somehow can give this to your children and your grandchildren and your sons and your daughters. Because we're living in a day when we really, really need God's wisdom. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Did I get all the answers? Did you miss any on the sheet here? Am I doing okay? If you got all the answers, stand up. If you didn't get any answers and you're still seated, I'll try to find you when church is over, okay? All right. If you're glad you stayed for the afternoon service, say amen. All right. I'll grab my bulletin here. I think there's a song here that we need to close with. A song, man. You just about ready? Okay. Why don't I have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our song man come up and we'll sing one last song, okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for men like John Phillips who can so expertly put the word of God together in a nice package for us, not to be put on a shelf and collect dust, but so that you and I might share it with others. Lord, your wisdom is great. Your mercy is great, and your grace is great. Lord, help us not to be the kind of people that keep all this to ourselves. Help us to be the kind of people that want to share with our neighbors and friends, our kids and grandkids and those around us. Thank you again for the afternoon. Thank you again for these good people. Thank you for the privilege we have to share your word with them. Dismiss us now in your name we pray. Amen. All right, come on up and sing if you'd like to sing. And if you do want copies of the morning message, just come and see me and I'll give them to you for free, okay? For free.